Amen. Say amen. Amen. If Jesus wasn't here for us today, where would we be? He's a great God. He is so great that to me, it's personal. It's an individual thing. He's so great to me that nobody and nothing else matters. If he's not in my life and not leading my life and I'm not pleasing him, nothing else matters. I'm just a lost loser. I'm lost. Because I understand that the world is not my home. And I have to leave this world whether I'm ready or not. And I have to spend the rest of my life somewhere. And there's only two places. I'm either going to heaven or I'm going to hell. And so it's a choice I have made that nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I am going to heaven. And once I made that up in my mind, then I have to find out what does it take for me to get there. And whatever it takes for me to get there, nothing else matters. I just have to do what he says do, how he says do it. And then I know at the end he's going to tell me well done. Because he's the only one that can tell you well done. You will do well and walk this earth and travel. This is Mother's Day. I call it, because it's Mission Day, Mothers on a Mission. And because this mission will end up before the great judge of the universe, I have to know everything about what he says. And I have to do everything that he says. I have to do it precisely. And since he made me a mother, I have to be the type of mother he's called for me to be. And I have to do it the way that he said in this book in order to hear well done. That's all that matters, people. Nothing else matters. Your life, your profession, your whatever, nothing else matters if you're not going to hear well done. What else matters? What else matter besides the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords telling you well done? I can't see it. I can't see anything else coming across your path and you going in that direction if it's not going to be an assistance to you hearing him say well done. Because this side of life is only for a length of time. But the other side of life is eternity. There's no discharge over there. There is no death time, no life and death time over there. And my main mission when I stand before this podium is to make sure everybody knows that there is a destiny and you're going to die whether you're ready or not. This is the message that Jesus came and preached. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Nothing else matters. If I don't say that and I preach a message from heaven and the fire come down, if we are not repentant and I've not had you to be encouraged to repent, then I just wasted my time. So when I stand behind this podium, I am deadly serious about the souls of men, women, boys, and girls being saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and ready to meet the Lord, because nothing else matters. Hallelujah! Nothing else matters! Nothing else matters. And at the point of where we are today, life is extremely short. And I just say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Because you know what? Mothers are the greatest people on earth. And mothers have the greatest responsibility in the earth. I don't say on earth, I say in the earth. Because when the world was in such a devastating condition and everything that the Father God did wasn't working, his main objective was to get man back to where he purposed them to be. And it wasn't working. It was not working. He did everything. He allowed man to have their own conscience, to think on their own, He had them to kill animals for sacrifices and to, you know, try to help them get forgiveness of their sin. The main objective for God was to, for man to be forgiven of their sins. Because he didn't create Adam and put him in a beautiful garden to sin. But sin found its way in the garden because sin started in the heavenlies with the angel that was disobedient to the Father. So his whole objective when he did make man on the earth was to lead them back out of sin's way and place them in a place that he could receive them back to himself because he cannot stand sin. And after he did everything that he could have done, he turned within himself. He turned within himself. The animals couldn't work. Man couldn't do it on their own. And even up to today, man can't do it on their own. They say, I'm trying to do good and I'm trying to live right and I'm trying, but you can't do it on your own. It is impossible. If it was possible, Adam and Eve would not have done what they did, but they had a choice. And they choose to be disobedient. So man have a choice and they don't want to choose to be disobedient, but they were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So sin is innate in their being. And so all they do when they come up, they sin. Oh my God. And so God, when he saw that the animal sacrifices and all the things that were done were unable to bring man back to himself, we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. We came from him. We belong to him. And we're going to go back to him in whatever shape you choose to go back. But he made a plan. He made a plan after all avenues was exhausted. He looked within himself and he's devised a plan. And within that plan, he had one son in his bosom. One son. I have 14 children. Many of you have 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever number you have. You have a lot of children. And you won't give up one for nobody. But he looked within himself and he had one son. And after all had been tried everything. He said, I have to send this one son. He's the only one that can lay the plan out simply. A simple plan. The reason why the plan was so simple, it was because the son was going to do everything that needed to be done that man would be saved again. And man wouldn't have to do anything but to accept what was done. And walk in that way and be obedient to that simple plan. It's a very simple plan. And at that point, he needed a mother. He needed a mother for his son in the earth. That is the most. That is the greatest thing. It is the greatest thing in the earth that you are a mother. Because when he searched the whole entire earth, he found one young girl. A young girl who was pure. She was engaged. She was chaste. She was a virgin. And he chose that young girl to be the mother of his only son. And she was the greatest woman in the earth. And he called her his son's mother. That's how important it was and it is for you to recognize yourself when you become a mother. It is so important to God. That is the only way, that's the only avenue through which he was able to refill the earth in purity. And he placed his son in the womb of a woman. That is a serious mark there. And that is all I want to get over to you today, that you are a mother. You are so special and important to God because you are an avenue. You are an avenue, a vehicle that God has chosen in the heavenlies. You're not an anybody. You are a specialty. Just think about yourself. You know, you people have mothers and they have the babies and oh, well. No, you have to stop and consider who you are now. You are special. You have a specific purpose. You have been ordained. You have been ordained. You have been ordained and chosen by God to be a mother of His special gifts. To reward God back through your womb? I don't think we ever even think about it. When God placed a seed in a woman's womb, it's a gift. It's a special gift back to Himself. It's not just a thing or something. Oh, I'm having a baby. You didn't get that baby from that man, even though he deposited it. It came from the Almighty God for Himself. For Himself. He says in the Psalm, the fruit of the womb is God's reward. Do you know who God is? Do you ever stop to think who God is? And he said, what I put in your womb, woman, you are giving me a reward. We don't even think about that. He gave his precious only son to be gifted in a young woman's womb who was engaged. So he understand about people having babies out of marriage, but he still put it in the womb for himself. He didn't leave nobody out. Mary was engaged. He knew that. He knew that. He didn't say the children of the married woman is my fruit and is my reward. He said all children. And so whether you're married or not married and you are having a child or have a child, you have a gift from God that He expects you to absolutely, totally, and completely take care for Him. It's not without suffering. It's with suffering. And it's okay. Because the suffering is not, it was necessary because of what they did. They disobeyed God. Anytime you disobey God, you're going to suffer. In one way or the other, you're going to suffer. But he specifically set the suffering for the woman. He said, you shall bear children in suffering. But you also be saved doing your suffering. He didn't just place it there and leave it. He said, you're going to suffer. You're going to have pain. But you're going to have joy when it's all said and done. Because if you do it right, if you follow the plan, he said, when you stand before me, I'll tell you, well done. And he said, I'll give you a crown of glory that's not going to fade away. Nobody's going to give you a crown in this world that is not going to fade away. So your most important work should be to God when you are a mother. Your most important work is to see that gift that God has given you is well protected and taken care of and given the words of God. And this young girl, she never was a mother before. But she accepted the challenge. She accepted the challenge. And when it was explained that she was highly favored, highly favored among all the women of that day, he highly favored her. And say that the fruit of your womb is going to be from the Most High God. And every fruit of the womb from that day till now is from the Most High God. And it's a favor. It's still a favor. But she was highly favored among women. And when she understood, when she understood that this was coming from God, and he has favored me to be the mother of his only son, she said, do whatever you need to do. I accept the challenge. Understanding that in those days, having a child out of wedlock means death. But she, it didn't matter to her, because she knew it was about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and if she died, she would be all right. But she couldn't die because she had the King of Kings on the inside. She understood the concept. Mm-hmm. She knew that she would suffer embarrassment, loneliness, false accusation. Oh my God. You see, this thing about motherhood is not just a thing. It's a process. It's a business. You are the sole proprietor of the gift of God that came from your womb. My God. And you need to study what it's about. And when you study what it's about, you'll have some different thoughts about doing so many things that you do. You'll make a difference. You'll be different. But Mary suffered the embarrassment. She suffered loneliness. She suffered being ostracized. She suffered not being able to go into a place like we have today, to have her child in a place of beauty and a place of friends around her. She was in an animal's cage, but she was carrying the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. And so it didn't matter where she had the child at, as long as she was pleasing her master. We're living in a world today that people don't care too much about children. They don't have a deep sense of responsibility to children. And children don't have a deep responsibility or love toward their mother, because they don't understand the concept of what that mother went through. That's why God put Jesus in the womb. He checked out every area of that mother's womb. He knew what that girl was going to go through. He knew the pain she was going to feel. He understood. He set that thing up just like that. He had to start from the beginning. And so what I'm saying today, mothers, you are so special. God knows what goes on in your womb. I think I saw a young lady. She's in the building today. She's expecting. She don't know what's going on the inside, but God knows. God knows what's going on the inside. He's working that thing out for his glory. He's forming that thing for his own beauty. He's shaping it to look like something special to him. You don't know what's going on the inside. You just get happy when you get it in your arm. Oh, my baby, my baby. You forget to say, oh, thank you, God, for your gift. Thank you for your gift. And I will take care of it. I will take care of it. I will do a good job for you, Jesus. She diligently took care of Jesus. Diligently. And you know through the whole story, I won't go through the whole story, but we know after she took care of her son, that son of God, the prophet told her that a sword would pierce her heart. And we're living in today where children are piercing their mother's heart. Oh my God, they do some things that they just don't consider. what that mother has brought them through. And he told that young lady that a sword is going to pierce through your heart because of your child. Yes. Or what your child is going to have to go through. But she diligently accepted. And as she walked and watched her son go through what he went through, not because of what he did wrong, but because of what she did right. She walked with him. She watched him suffer, and her heart bled. A real mother heart bleeds when their children do wrong. She was bleeding because her son did right. Because her son was the savior of the whole universe. And she knew that he had to go through these pains and suffering. And she walked and she followed him. She didn't have a smile on her face. She was in agony. Agony every day. But she understood that purpose for which the Father sent that son into the world. She understood the pros and cons of a mother. A mother has to go through so much. But they got to be strong and diligent. They got to say, God, I'll do it. My topic today, say, yes, you can. Yes, you can make it. If you got Jesus and you understand who you are and that you've given a gift back to God, yes, you can do it. You can stand up, but you can't do it by yourself. You need the same Jesus that went through that wound. You need that same Jesus that pierced the heart to keep your heart in the right place. When your children are all out of order, you say, God, I know they're going to make it. Oh, yes. You have confidence.
Hallelujah.
Mothers, you are so important. Mothers, I know there are fathers, but mothers, you have the full responsibility of teaching those children what is right and what is wrong. But the flip side of the coin is, do you know what is right and what is wrong? All through the Bible, I read how the men would do their part. But there was a young man that took a stroke in the field and he was working with his father. And the son got a stroke. And all he said, my dear brother, he said, take him to his mother. Mother, know what to do. He had faith and confidence that that mom know how to take care of that boy with that sickness because she was in place. So many mothers are out of place. She was in place. She gathered that young man up and called for her horseman. He said, she said, I know what to do. She didn't call daddy and say, I'm finna take a ride. He says, send him to her mother, his mother. Mother saw the condition. She knew where the man of God was. She set that boy up on that. She told that young man, you hit that whip and don't you slack it because I got a place to go. I got a son that needs to be made whole. How many times we need to bring our children to Jesus because they need to be made whole. And we can't do it by ourselves. We need to find the men and women of God. Take these children there. She got that boy to the man of God. And she said, don't play with me, man of God. You gave me the son. I received the son. I accept this son. Now my son having a problem. The boy died, you know, he was dead. But she found the man of God. Because the Bible said, if you trust in the Lord, you shall never die. See, you got to know the word. You got to know the word. Took that fellow to the man of God and said, hey, you gave me this son, and there he is. Is it well with your son? Yes. Is it well with your husband? Yes. Is it well with you as well?
Yeah.
Long story short, the man of God brought him back to life. Gave him to her mother. My God. It is important, Mother. I just want you to begin to think. I just want to give you something to think about. You are special. You have a grave responsibility. God is holding you responsible for your sons and your daughters. There are men in the house and there are some men that are not in the house. But God holds you responsible because you carried that child for 9 months in your womb and you're connected. You're connected more than a man is connected. You took that child. Everywhere you went, he was with you. You lie down, he was there. You got up, he was there. Some of you worked the whole time, it was in there. It hurt. That child heard what you said. They felt your pain. They know what you was going through while they was in that womb. So that's why God gives you the responsibility to teach them the way of the Lord. It tells you in Deuteronomy, and ain't no father gonna be there to do this. And I know he's talking to the mother. He said, teach them in the morning. You are responsible for getting your children back to heaven. You're responsible for that. Say, teach them children in the morning. Teach them when you go out. Teach them when you come back. Teach them around the table. Teach them when you're in the grocery store. Teach them when you lie down. Teach them when you get up. He gave you mothers that responsibility because you are more connected with the child. Or supposed to be. We're living in the 21st century. There ain't hardly nobody home. Nobody's there. When time for teaching, you're just a little too tired. It's wearisome times. Nothing wrong with that, but you got to be like Mary. You got to understand, you got to suffer. When the man can lay down and sleep, you need to be up teaching that child because that's your responsibility. This is not Sister Clark. This is the word of the living God. He said, you teach it to them. And you know what you end up with? You'll be rewarded in the end. Not only on the other side, but you're rewarded right here. And God is, I'm going to say it again, God is holding you mothers responsible. If you want good children to grow up in the right way, even if they stray off, they will come back. Oh yes, they will. There's another example in the Bible that I want to show you about diligently telling yourself, yes, I can. Yes. You see, if you don't tell yourself that you can, you're not going to do it. If you speak those negative words, well, I'm tired, I'm weary, yeah, let him do it. No, he don't know how to teach it like you know how to teach it. God made a man and a woman totally different, even though he put them together. You are totally different. The man can't do it like the woman, and the woman can't do it like the man. I don't matter how much you say as a woman is in the house by herself. They just can do what they can do as a woman. Amen. But they can do a good job if they let the Lord help them. They can do a good job, but it's still not the perfect thing that God has set up. We got to understand, we're not living in a world that we wrote the laws. We're living in a world that we came and met the word of God, and it don't change. I'm reminded of one woman, and I'm going to read that scripture. In the scripture that we had this morning, it said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And that's where I got my topic. Yes, you can. It don't matter how tired you are, how weary you are, you can do what God tells you to do because he will make a way for you to do it if you want to do it. Praise God. There was a woman in the Bible. This woman was a woman of really diligence. She was very, very diligent. And it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 21. I am very intrigued with this young lady. I'm very intrigued with her because she was not going to let nothing. She was not going to allow anything to hinder her from getting what God says was supposed to be. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 8 through 11. And it's on the screen, you can read it, but I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you the story for the sake of time. This young lady, her name was Rispa. I've always been intrigued with her. Because she sounded like something that I would do. I don't give up and I don't give in and I don't like to be defeated. And so I'm going to do everything it takes. Cause it what it will. If God said I can win it, I'm going to win it. If he says, my brother, you can win it, you can win it. And so this lady, Rispa, she knew the laws of the land. And she was not even the wife of Saul. She was a concubine. Meaning she was one of his side women.
Come on now.
That's why I say God don't leave nobody out. It was one of Saul's side women. We have a lot of men got wives, but they got side women. And got women got side men. Not the way God set it up, and you're not free. But God is God. He allowed what he allowed. I don't mess with God's program. My mama taught me leave God's business alone. Just take care of your business. Take care of what you know to take care of, because we don't know much. So I don't need to try to mess with God's business. God's business is God's business. Leave it alone. He know how to take care of it. He said what he reveals is what he wants you to know. What he don't reveal, don't dig it up. You can't handle it no way. We can't handle what we read. And no need to get the extra things. But this lady was one of Saul's side women. No, on the side. Right, brother, on the side. You know about on the side, right? You know how I go on the side. You heard about it. I ain't say you, but you heard about people on the side, right? Yeah, you heard about them people. I go home, and in the morning, I go over here, right? And then in the afternoon, I go over here, you know. And then, you know, I go over here. But then, you know, I make it back home in time, but they don't know I done been here, here, here. A lot of side women. And Saul had a lot of concubines. The Bible, they call them concubines. Yeah, the woman on the side. And being on the side, she had two sons. She had two sons. She bare for Saul. Two sons. You know, being the concubine of a king make you feel a little... You know, the people... I'm going to say it. You know, when you have the big drug dealers, the big ones, I'm not talking about little penny animals, get a little bit, I'm talking about the real one. They got the Jaguars, they got the tall buildings, you know, and they walk like this, you know, and you can't touch that, and they got the cap, you know? The biggies. The biggies, they ain't no little penny ante ones, brother. They got the real deal in this world, right? And when you're the woman of that kind of man, you feel real. You feel real straight. Because they can kind of give you what you want. Put you up where you want to be put up. You know, give you whatever kind of car because you know they need you. You think. For a while. But you know you feel good. You walk real proud. When you're the big man, girlfriend. They don't too much have wives, they have girlfriends, and they ain't bothered with no wife stuff. You know, but when they're the big man, and they can give you the big things, that woman feel real proud. She feel real safe, right? Because you know they're going to take care of you, and nobody going to mess with the big man's lady. Right? Hey, I'm saved, but I read and I see. I ain't dumped by a long shot. I keep up with the times, I keep up with the stuff. I know they say my dog and all that kind of stuff. Oh yes, it's all over the place. Hey, Christians is not dumb. You just gotta be wise and read what you need to read and look at what you need to look at and educate yourself that you can deal with all of them. We're not locked up in no corner. We right out there too. We got eyes and ears. We might not partake, but we know what's going on. Right now, today, everything on the TV, so ain't nothing hidden. Right? They tell about everything. Things what they don't need to be telling about, they telling about. So you can't miss it, Brother John, right? So that they feel real, real safe. And they walk real tall. They ain't worried about nobody because he takes care of me. You know? And that's the way Saul's concubine felt. She had two sons for the man, so she felt real special. You see what I'm talking about? All that was going on, all that was going on in the day ain't nothing new. This been happening from the beginning of time. All this
just a repeat. It's just a repeat. Ain't nothing new. So that's why I stay saved. I stay holy because ain't nothing new. That done been in the wash, washed up, come back, dressed up, and put back again. Ain't nothing to that. Because the Bible tell you how it's going to come out. He tell you they ain't going to laugh, Brother Bannister. It didn't last in this book. And this book is the book of all books, and it ain't last in here. Why you think it's going to last in your life? They thought they were special back there too, sister. They thought they were special. So Rispa knew she was special because she had two sons for the kid. It didn't matter that she was just a side woman. She had two sons. And he had, what, four or five other sons? Yeah, by a daughter, you know. But she still felt good because she was in the circle, the inner circle, right? But what happened here? What happened, brother? There came a time that there had to be some retribution. There had to be some retribution. This is found in 2 Samuel chapter 21. If y'all want to read it and see what happened, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell you what happened. There came a time when there needed to be some retribution because Saul did some bad things to the people of God. And God got mad at them fellas. And so some retribution had to be made. And so when retribution came down and they talked to David and they say, listen, that man didn't do us right and God laughed at us because of what that man did, what Saul did, they did do. We want to get some payback. They wanted some payback. So David had to, he let David choose, I need a payback. I don't want no money. You see, money ain't everything. It's only an even exchange. It's only exchange for what you get. And if you don't exchange, people write, they might give you a bullet in exchange. They want what they want when they want it. They needed an exchange. So they had David to let them make the decision on what the exchange. We said, we don't want no silver, we don't want no gold. You know what we want? We want seven of his sons to die. We want seven of his sons to die. And we're going to use them for a sacrifice to God so God can take this curse off of us. So Rispa fell right in that line because he only had five by somebody else. And he had to make up the other two. So what David had to do, take her two sons and the other five and give them over to the Gibeonites, who the kid did wrong to, he had to give them over to them. Yeah. And you know what they did? They took them seven sons and they hung them up. They hung them up. They hung them. And you know what they did? They hung them and left them hanging. Left them for the dogs and the birds and everything to eat them up. They weren't going to bury them. They wasn't going to do nothing with them. They were just going to kill them. Those bodies hung up in that between heaven and earth because they had to give back to the Gibeonites for God to remove the curse of the famine that was in that land. Because when you don't do right with God, your life is topsy-turvy. You are in discombobulation and you don't know why. So take a minute and check out what you're doing. Check out what you're doing because God is a good God and God loves his people. But he's a God of honesty, he's a God of truth, he's a God of judgment. So they hung those boys up in the tree, left them there. But you know what this mother did? This mother said that she was going to be determined that her sons, you wasn't going to add insult to injuries. Because her this son didn't die for what they did. They died for what the king did. And they hung them up. She said, You know what she did? I think it was 6 months. For 6 months, that mother, I'm talking about mother, who know their responsibility and know what they gotta do, they can't do it. For 6 months, she put a tent of sackcloth. Yes. Yeah. She set it on the rocks in the front of where her sons were hanging. And she stayed out there for 6 months so that the birds in the day couldn't touch them.
even though they were dead and they were turning to skeleton from day to day, that mother knew what it was. She bare those babies. She knew the pain she went through. And she wasn't going to allow her sons to just stay there right away with no justice in burial. So she stayed there. And in the daytime, she knocked the birds that none would touch them. In the nighttime, she stayed there so the animals won't touch them. And she did it for 6 months straight up on that mountain, living out there in the weather. Because she said, I'm going to have justice for my son. They're not going to stay out here.
Jesus.
Somebody going to bury them. You see, they don't bury them when you are for a sacrifice to God. You stay there till you just rot away and that's it. But this mother said, I got 2 of them. I don't know what the rest of them 5 mothers or whoever going to do, but I'm going to stay here. I'm going to diligently do what I need to do until I get my justice done. How many mothers are willing to stay on their knees until their changes come? How many mothers are willing not to see their children die and go to hell? How long are you willing to suffer until you get your answer and you see your children change for the good of life? How long? She stayed there for 6 months, beating those animals away. She didn't get weary. She didn't get tired. She didn't give up. She didn't give over. She didn't give in. She stayed there. Yes, she did. And because of her consistency and her perseverance, that my sons is going to be buried. It doesn't matter if they're just skeletons. They're going to be buried. Until after 6 months, David heard about what this great mother did. They told him what she was doing. And he just couldn't believe it. He said, my God, somebody to have that kind of determination that my son, or I'm saying to you today, that my daughter ain't going to go to hell. My son ain't going to hell. I'm going to do whatever it takes. If I have to fast and pray, if I have to pray and fast, if I have to stay on my knees, I'm going to see that my child don't die and go to hell. Whatever it takes, are you willing to do it? After 6 months, David understood and heard. He went out there and he took those bodies down along with the others and with Saul and Jonathan, and he took them and he had a proper funeral and buried them in a good tomb because of consistency and persistence. She got her desire. She wasn't going to allow the enemy and that curse to stay on. How many of us are allowing our children just to do what they want to do? How they want to do it? You're afraid of them. She wasn't afraid of those people. How many of us are willing to tell God, I got some sons, I got some daughters. They got to be saved. God, you promised that if I accept you, it's unto me and my children and my children's children and to those that are far off. You will see the blessings of God. He's looking for mothers that are willing to take the pain. He's looking for mothers that are willing to take this book. If you don't know about it now, learn about it. Learn what he said that you can have. And don't compromise with them. And I tell you, it hurt my heart. It hurts my heart. Because see, I'm a mother. And I trained 14. And I didn't take a back seat to it. Because I knew what my God said. But you don't know the reward when you do it. And it looked like it just going disarray. But all in all, at the end, it comes together. And they begin to rise up and be blessings to you. And help you out. And take, it's a blessing. You will get a reward if you stand with the Lord, with your children. And it hurts me to see how children just blatantly disrespect parents. just disrespect parents. Say anything, act any kind of way, not knowing the pain, not knowing the suffering, not knowing the sacrifice, the tears day and night, how they gave up for themselves, for them, and they just treat parents any kind of way. Just say whatever, whenever, and however. That love that God placed there is not there. Or not, they're not understanding. They're not understanding what God has done. To have respect for parents, Ephesians 6 and 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the earth. And there's the only one with a promise. You see why young people are dying? You know why they're dying? They're dying because they disrespect their parents. And the Bible says, any child that disrespects their parents, their lights will go out at noonday. You know what noonday means? Half of their life is cut off. That's the word of God. If God said, I'm not a man that I should lie. If I say it's going to happen, it's happening. Is not it happening? And if you are a parent and you disrespect your parent, while I'm talking, you need to say, God, forgive me. You a parent, and you had a parent, and you disrespected your parent, and you still alive. You say, God, please forgive me. I'm sorry, God. Because you want your day to be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We are not keeping our life. God's keeping our life. Don't think you big and bad because you still living. You're only living by the mercies of God. You are only living because God hoping that one day you will change. One day you will ask for forgiveness. One day you will rise up, turn around and call your mama blessed. That's the only reason you're alive. If you are a disrespectful child, not only to your parents, but men and women in God. If you are disrespectful and you are still alive, you ought to raise your hand and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, forgive me. Because you don't know when he's going to cut your life out. You don't have no breath of your own. You don't own nothing. That breath you have is borrowed. It's borrowed. And if he want to take it back right now in this building, you're dead. You better thank God that he let you wake up when you've been disrespectful to your parents and he let you get up in the morning. You better be saying, Lord, I thank you, forgive me. Because by night you could be dead. Hundreds of them are dying, being shot down in the street. Why? Because they're disrespectful. And God sees everything. He knows everything. Every secret word. He said, are you going to bring you in judgment? It's serious. It's serious. You ain't walking on your own. My mom been dead for a little while, but there's never one day in my life that I ever disrespected them. Not one day. And if she was living right now, she would be 112 years old, and I would still be respecting her. If she told me something to do, if I couldn't hardly hear what she was saying, I'd make sure I got it, and I would do it. Because it's what God say you must do. If you want to live long, and if you're living long, you want to have a good life. The song say, you better do what the Lord say do.
Word, 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 word.
Mothers, you have a responsibility. Children, you owe your parents respect, because you will never know how much as much as they know. You will never know as much as they know because you have not lived as long as they have. So we need to kind of get it straight. Because time is winding up. And you're going to leave here whether you want to or not. Mothers, give God praise for him blessing your womb. That God has blessed your womb to bring forth children. and start from today to train them in the way that they ought to go. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to be angels. They know how to be little devils when they get ready, but just understand that's the way children go. I don't care how old they are. You are always children.
Yes.
I don't say I have 14 men and women. I have 14 children. And I'm a child to the Heavenly Father. So that's why I have to obey and respect Him and tell you what He say tell you. He say, time is winding up. Ask for forgiveness for what you have done. And forgive your parents if they didn't treat you right. If they didn't do towards you like you thought it should be. Ask for God to forgive you and you forgive them. And love your parents. Hug them, because one day they ain't going to be there for you to hug, and you want to hug and they're not there. Because nobody lives forever. Nobody lives forever. And the young dying faster than the old. And you just don't have to be doing wrong. Just be out there where those crazy people are. And a bullet will come your way. Take your life out. You don't have to be doing nothing wrong. Just be ready. Meet the Lord where He is. And the main thing is ask God to forgive you. I'm going to say that again. Ask God to forgive you. You're not to tell nobody you did it. You're not to say nothing to nobody. Just tell it to God. But you know what's going to happen? Your attitude and your action will change. Because God is willing. God bless you, mothers. God bless you, children. Live holy, live righteous. Because you're going to meet Him one day. And I want you to meet Him in peace and in joy. And enjoy your parents while you got them. Because you don't know when they're going to be gone. You might live long and they're gone. Enjoy your parents. Love them.
Yes.
Serve them. Bring them home something when you're out. Bring them a flower when it's not Mother's Day. And say, Mother, I thank you for not aborting me when you could have. They didn't have to let you come in this world. They didn't have all the techniques to get rid of you. Right? And them mothers knew about it. I was saving. I knew about it. But I say, God, everything you give me, I'm going to bring it out here. And you know, it don't last forever, because my baby is 27 years old and I have her own baby. And I thank God for being a mother. I thank God for my mother. I'm glad I'm a mother. I thank God for my 14 children. Because now I bless them and they're blessing me back. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father God, in your precious Son Jesus' name.